I appreciate the kind words from Brother Ron. I've grown up around him. He has been one that I knew I could count on for many years, and I appreciate Faith Church and their calling me to help in this effort meeting. I have been praying since you all called, and I believe if we'll follow the Lord, God will bless us. As the good Sister Coon said she hoped that God would be with us. She said that was her expectation, and if we're going to come expecting anything, we need to expect that God's going to be here. If we came expecting that He was going to stay at home, we should have stayed at home. But I'm thankful that God is already here tonight, and I'm glad that He leads, guides, and directs our lives. And I'm thankful that He's the God that He is. And I'm thankful that He saved my soul. You want to talk about somebody being unworthy to be saved? You're looking at one. But He saw fit when I was a little boy to wrap His arms around me and give me that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'm so thankful to have that tonight. And He called me to preach, and I've been trying to do that ever since. And Faith Church has a special place in our heart, and we're thankful for her. We need just, when this revival, when we come together, I just pray that we just have a wonderful time.
Amen.
Hope to see a bunch of lost souls get saved. That's my greatest desire, is to see lost people saved. And that should be all of our desire. I have a thought upon our heart tonight as we come together for this revival service. And came to me, I believe, Sunday afternoon. I was sitting around the house and the apartment, and I kept thinking, well, Lord, You've got to give me something for tonight to preach. And I thought this was the sermon that I was supposed to preach at Mount Calvary, but God said, no, this is for Thursday night. And I said, well, Lord, I still need something for tonight. And we sat around and were studying, and God finally gave us a thought. But the thought that's on our heart tonight is, does God still care in 2016? I want you to think about that tonight as we try to present this lesson. You know, we live in a world today that it looks like God doesn't care. You turn on the television and all you see is mass shootings and a godless society that is before us. And people today are asking the question, does God still care? I want you to know tonight, God still cares about us.
Amen.
He still loves us. And He still wants to save people. He still loves His church. You know, I look around tonight and no doubt because you have and look around at the condition of a lot of our churches, and we ask the question, does God even care? Does He care that we perish? And I want you to know that God cares.
Amen.
If He didn't care, we wouldn't be here tonight. If He didn't care, there would be no hope for this world, but there's still hope.
Amen.
For this world. Now I want you to read with us tonight in Isaiah chapter 55. And I don't know if this will be a message to the lost or to the saved, but I know this, that I've got to follow the Lord. However it comes out, it just has to come out. These verses of Scriptures are typically used toward lost people. And I want you to understand tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, God does care about you. If you're tonight saved, and maybe things aren't always easy for you, I want you to know that God cares about you as well. He saved your soul, so He cares about you. But you know, lost people today, I look around and it's a general thing. Many of them have this understanding or this thought that God can't save them anymore. But I want you to understand that God made a covenant with this world when He sent His Son to die on the cross, that He would save anybody that would come to Him to repent and faith. That's how I know that God cares for us. I want you to read these verses of Scripture with us tonight. Isaiah 55, verse 1. And it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently, or listen intently unto me. And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for thy Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. 6th verse says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If I could take for lesson text tonight, it would be the last part of that 7th verse. It says, "Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And as I told you, the title for our message tonight would be, "Does God Care in 2016? You know, Isaiah was a prophet. And this prophecy that he laid down was written between 701 and 681 B.C. And that's a long time ago. We look in the Old Testament and that's years, thousands of years that have gone by. And God loves people then. We look in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Look in the very first chapter of Genesis. And I guess that's the farthest point away from us that we can get. This is the beginning of time. And I want to start there tonight, and God will be our helper. And you think about how God created this world. And He created everything, and He didn't leave anything undone. I believe when our God set forth to create this world, He meant to create everything in the best way possible. And He created you and I in the best way possible. But we go down through the things that He created, and we start going through the days and how that God created the world. And if you get a few verses past that, it says, "And He saw that it was good." Go on a little farther and He creates another few things, and you go a few more verses and it says, "And He saw that it was good." Go a few more verses, He's created something else and He sees that it's good. Go a little farther, there's something else He's created, and guess what? He sees that it's good. Then we get down to the last thing that He creates, and that's man. And He says, "Let us," not me, "let us," the Godhead, the Trinity, "let us make man in our image." And so He goes and He creates man in His image. And I want you to know He takes the lowliest thing that He can find and creates man. And you say, "Creature, how can you say God cares about us when He takes the dust of the earth and creates us?" He took something so lowly, yet breathed the breath of life into His nostrils and created a living, breathing being. And you want to know what He said about it? He said it was very good. He didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. And what did He do? He created as a living being with a soul that nothing else could have. On this earth that we stand upon, it doesn't need to be born again. On these benches that we have, the wood that it came from, the trees in the world, they don't need to be born again. They have no soul. The animals of this world, God created those, and He saw that they were good, but He didn't give them a soul. The Bible says that He knows about the sparrow. And if He knows about the sparrow, how much more than He knows about us? He has the hairs on our head numbered. You think about that. You look at my hair tonight. I've got a haircut this afternoon, kind of short. But you probably couldn't come number all the hairs on my head. But God knows every one of them, every single placement of those, because God cares about me. I thought about that this week as I began to study. And I thought, you know, God must have really loved us because He gave us free will. And I think about that sometimes and I thought, God, You must have made a mistake. But God makes no mistakes. He's never made one. And I guarantee you this, I can't guarantee you a lot of things, but I guarantee you that God has not and will not ever make a mistake. Amen. What God does is perfect, believe it or not.
Amen.
But I thought about that and I thought, Lord, You must have made a mistake when You gave people free will. Didn't You know that old Adam would go over there in the Garden of Eden and he would do the exact opposite of what You said? Isn't that just a person? We do the exact opposite of what God tells us to do a lot of times. I won't give you an answer to a test question at the end. God still cares about us. But I'm thankful tonight that God gave us free will. He didn't make us emotionless. He didn't make us just beings that went about and did things such as they were. He created
human beings with emotions and feelings. Old Adam sinned. And that very moment, sin entered into this world, and from that point on, people had to come back to God. Why? Because God cared for us.
Amen.
And I want you to know, God almost said, forget it with everybody, trashed the whole plan, and had to restart everything, but God didn't do that. Why? Because He loves us.
Amen.
When He looked and He saw that other creations that He made, that they were good, He knew that He couldn't just do away with them. So He left us. And I'm going to say this tonight, you can agree or you can disagree. I really don't care what you think. But this is how the Lord gives it to me, so I'll have to take it that way. But I believe before this world was ever created, God had the foreknowledge to know that people would sin. I believe He knew all that. He knew that Adam would go over there and take of that fruit of that tree and eat it. I believe He knew all that. And I don't necessarily know how it all took place up in heaven. I don't necessarily know. I've heard preachers say that they got together and count the halls of glory. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they sat down and they talked about the plan. I can't tell you how it all took place. But I'm going to say the Godhead, they knew all about it. And so for a little while, there was a covenant that was established. And you know, for a while, there was this law that had been given. And you know what it was supposed to do? It was supposed to show people that they were sinners. And that they needed something to keep them in line. And guess what the law did? It would never satisfy God's covenant.
Amen.
Never could. There was a moral law. There was a ceremonial law. And people had to bring forward the best that they had. The best animals that they had, and sacrifice those before an almighty God. They had to do that once a year. The best that they had. But you know, that wouldn't last very long. Wouldn't last forever. The Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats and those things could never satisfy.
That's right.
It could never satisfy. So something had to come. Something had to be the propitiation for my sin and for your sin and for people before us and people after us. There had to be something. I want to make this statement very clear before I move on. I believe in my heart that people in the Old Testament got saved the exact same way that you and I do today. They had to, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that's the truth, we better believe that people have been saved the same way all through time. They had to believe and have faith that Jesus Christ was coming. There were types of Christ all throughout the Old Testament to let them know that there was something greater in store for them. And they had to believe that.
Amen.
Why? Because God cares for us. We get down here to these verses of Scripture in Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was still looking forward.
Amen.
He was still looking for the Messiah, the Savior to come, the one that would take away the sins of the world. He was still looking. Still hadn't come yet, but Isaiah knew that He was coming. I believe he had faith in that. And what did he tell them there? He says, oh, everyone that thirsteth. Everyone. You know, today there's people that say there's only so many people that can be saved. That is a lie straight from the devil.
Amen.
God came so that every person could be saved. The Bible says, it's the best quoted verse in the Scriptures, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is and whosoever will salvation. It's not of this person or that person, and the rest of you are excluded. It's of whosoever will. Why is that? Because God cares for us. If He didn't care about you, He would give you no way to be saved. Give you no way. But He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Jesus is the living water.
Amen.
He's the water that flows up from Calvary's throne. He's the only water that will last forever.
Amen.
This cup of water, if I drink it very fast, it'll be gone. But this, it's never gone. It never runs dry. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation?
Amen.
Aren't you glad it's an everlasting supply straight from God?
Amen.
Don't believe the lies today. You can't lose it. If you got it, God given it to you forever. Why isn't it? Because God cares about us. If He didn't care about us, every time one of us sinned, He'd say, well, that's mine again. And you've got to get saved. No, no. The Bible says it's an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? It's everlasting. From beginning to end, from the moment that God saves your soul, you're sealed up. Ephesians says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. I don't know how anybody can get out of those verses of Scripture and say that you can lose your salvation, but you sure can't do it. Because guess who is worthy? Open the seal. Not you and not me, but my Savior, the one who died on the cross. He is worthy. And He's not going to open that seal. There's going to be some seals He's going to open. Read over Revelation. He's not going to open that seal because He's not going to take away water because He cares for us. It says, he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If you sell anything, I used to work at a grocery store there in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and people would steal from us all the time. Why wouldn't do nothing for us to turn around and see someone over the meat counter stuffing something in a shirt to try to get out of there with it? It happened all the time. They probably didn't have a whole lot of money. But my job was, when I saw it, to catch them. I still had to say something to them, even if they had no money and they were hungry. Do you know what the Bible says right here? It says, come. He that hath no money, come. You know the best thing about salvation? You know the best thing about all of this that God has done? It's a free gift from heaven above. Nobody has to pay for it except one man who died on Calvary. It's already been paid. Well, guess what? If you and I had to buy it, we could afford it. Only the rich would have it. Nobody could ever buy what happened at Calvary.
Amen.
Couldn't do it. Why is that? Because He cares for us. We're asking the question tonight, does God care? In 2016, how will we get there? God's going to be all healthy. You may say, preacher, you're going to preach for a little while. Well, we just want to keep following the Lord and go as long as He would have us to tonight. But I want you to understand something here. All of these things that we've talked about thus far are about salvation that God cares for. You know, the Bible says, and I want to turn over into the New Testament, over into 1 Peter for just a moment. Sure, you know the verses of Scripture very well. You could probably quote them to me. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. This next verse of Scripture I really like.
Amen.
Casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you.
Amen.
If that doesn't answer our question, I don't know what does.
Right.
You know, we live in a world, and I told this on the onset of this message, that we look around at us, and we see turmoil. We see tribulation. We see wars. And we see people turning away from God. We see ungodliness in all of the world, in every part. We see ungodliness in our churches. We see men turning against men, women turning against men. We see lives being torn apart. We see all of these things. And there's a whole lot of people tonight that believe that we're hopeless. And I tell them all the time at Mount Calvary, I say, as long as God is still on His throne, there is hope for our world.
Amen.
If you're not lost, as long as God is still on His throne, there's still hope for you.
Amen.
Why is that? Because God says, Peter said, here He said, cast all of your care upon Him because He cared for you. You can say, preacher, how do you know that God cares about me? I already quoted the verse of Scripture over in John 3:16 that said, whosoever will But we live in a society where people don't really care about people. We've been hardened to the fact that it seems like everybody's out for themselves. But you know what God's best interest is for us? Is that we would be saved. I believe that God desires, and we say all the time, if it be God's will, that somebody get saved. You know what God's will is that everybody would be saved. If it was not His will, He wouldn't care about us. But God does care about us, so it's His will that none should perish. We need to rescue the perishing. 701 B.C. is a long time ago. Long time ago. I fast forward to tonight in 2004. Some of you all know this, I told you before. Some of you all, this is my spirit's birthday tonight.
Amen.
12 years ago, on July 14th, it was a Wednesday night, had a revival at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church on the front seat, right in the middle. I was sitting there, and the people in Mount Calvary hear this quite a bit. Some of you heard it, some of you haven't, and I'll repeat it for those who haven't. But I remember sitting there that night, and they women corner was full. All the women got up there, and it sounded so beautiful, and they began to sing. I remember it sounded like all of heaven had come down in that church house and had rested for a little while. I was as lost as a lost person could be. I had rejected God. You know, God, when He draws a person, it's because He cares for us.
Amen.
People say, well, God don't love me so much. If you say that, you are bound for a devil's hell. And guess what? When you get there, God will not care about you anymore. But until then, you still got hope. I remember sitting there that night, and I remember listening to them singing. And if you knew me very well, in order for me to go to the altar, you had to come talk to me. I wasn't going to do it on my own. I didn't want to. I was embarrassed. You know, people are embarrassed to come to the altar anymore. You know what this means? You know what it is when you seek God? It means you make an effort to come to God. God cares enough about you to draw you to Him. So seek Him while He may be found. But I remember that night I was sitting there and I listened to singing and I thought, these people don't give a care in this world about me. They would be okay if I just died and went to hell. They're not coming to me and asking me if I want to go to the altar. They don't care about me at all. They're just thinking about heaven and how happy they'll be over there. And guess who's not going to me? And they don't care about me. God said, well, you know I care about you. Started over tugging on the heart. Pounding a little bit. He let me know that I was ready to be saved. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You know, people have to be in a condition to get saved. The Bible says that you've got to come to Him. The Bible also says that no man can come to Him except the Father, which is in heaven, draw them. You can't come to God just any time you want to. God must draw you. He's got to. I love the drawing power of God. I didn't think so much of it when I was lost. Oh, but I love it now. I love to work on people. Oh, and that's what we need tonight. I don't know your heart. I can only tell you what God did for me. But I know now that God cares for me. I'm sitting there in my seat. All my friends around me, most of them have been saved. And I thought, God, you're just going to leave me out. I'm going to hell and you don't care. And then he'd start pounding my chest. Let me know that I'm growing you. I remember as a little boy, I'd get to church and I'd say, you know, if God will draw me tonight, I'll go. He'd begin and I'd sit back. Somebody'd come and I'd go to the altar. That night, nobody was caring about me. They were probably shouting all over the house. Didn't care, I thought. I dropped down on my knees. Can't remember what they were saying. But I dropped down on my knees right there. Middle of the seat. And I began to call out to God. You know what happens when you begin to call out to God? You've got to be sincere about it. Because God cares about you, and you've got to care about Him.
Amen.
My deacon wrote a book. It says, believe to the saving of your soul. You've got to believe with everything that you've got that Jesus will save you. If you're not saved, you can identify with that. You remember how bad it hurt. You remember how awful it felt. At that moment, you know what you feel like? Nobody can help me, and nobody cares. I began to call out on God. And I can't tell you everything said. Somebody can tell you every prayer, that they pray every word, but they said, I can't. But I know this. There is a time and a place where God opened up the heavens above, and His saving grace came down and gave me peace and joy.
Amen.
It's peace.
Yes.
And at that moment, I knew that God cared about me. I was His child. Paul, oh, aren't you glad if you've been saved by the grace of God that He cares about you? People tonight will sit around and say, well, I wish my parents would take me to church. Because then people are going to ask me about the soul. God's going to get hold of me. But when I got saved, I was so thankful that somebody cared about me. So thankful for that. But you know what I had to do? I had to cast all my care on Him. Because why? Because He cared for me. Read these verses of Scriptures just a few moments ago. Quoted them. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want to read them to you. I want you to have the evidence that they're in there. I want people to know that this is Bible. I want you to know that God has Scriptures in there that let you know that He loves you. I can stand up here all night and preach. You can read these words until your eyes cross. But you know what really going to let you know that God cares about you? When you let Him save your soul.
Amen.
That drawing power is not something to be scared of. It is something to be scared of if you reject Him. Because I want you to know, and it's not popular, but you are going to hell. Save people, those around us that are lost and undone without God, they are going to hell. They are going there. We need to care about them. God cares about them. We need to care about them.
That's right.
We need to have a zeal, have a desire that everybody around us would have what we've got.
Amen.
Why? Because God cares for us.
Amen.
The Bible says, so love your neighbor as thyself. I want people to have what I've got. Because I told you, people are lonely and they're sad. Oh, we live in the saddest place sometimes. Look around at everybody's stuff to the cell phones. Why, you just look around at society today and everybody's got them like this and they don't see not anybody around them. And guess what? It's replaced. It's replaced God. It's replaced anything to do with the church. It's replaced those things. And they don't give God enough time to let Him care about them. Everything is replaced God. You used to have a shirt that said, it's talking about prayer in schools, and it said, God, why have you taken, why have you allowed prayer to go out of schools? He says, I'm not going anywhere, but it's you who's left me. Brothers and sisters, as the church, we need to care about God. God cares about us. I still believe that God loves the old-time missionary Baptist churches. I believe He cares about us. If you didn't, let's lock the doors tonight. Let's sell buildings. Let's just be done. If God doesn't care, if we really believe that tonight, let's shut it down. But you know what? The Bible is full of hope.
Amen.
In a world that looks dark, in a nation that looks like it's turned against God, He's still here. Read these verses of Scriptures. I've got a couple more places I want to go, and I'm not going to try to worry your patience tonight. Matthew 10 and 29. I want you to have these verses of Scriptures tonight. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God knows everything. God is all knowing. He knows everything about you tonight. He knows more about yourself than you know. He knows more about you than you could ever imagine. But the very hairs of your head, they are all numbered. He numbered the stars in the sky. What if He numbered the sands by the sea.
Amen.
And he numbered the hairs on my head. To say that God doesn't care would be a tragedy. Tragedy would be something that should upset us if God didn't care for us. You know, I wanted to make this mention real quick. There are a lot of times in the Old Testament, Old Israel would get away from God. They turned their back on God. And God would do things to them. He would reprimand them. And they would beg God, please give us mercy one more time. They'd be alright for a little while and they'd turn right back around and disobey God. Israel would fall on their knees and say, Lord, please forgive us. But you know what God did? He cared for them.
Amen.
They were His chosen people. I'm going to say tonight that we are God's chosen people and He cares for us. He loves us. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You know, there's been a lot of people that I've been scared to talk to. You know, I had some friends in high school, I guess, that I never took home to meet my parents because they may have not been people that mom and dad would have been too happy about. But you know what this says? It said, I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. He tells God about us. I believe that He is the mediator between man and God. I believe He goes to God and He says, that one right there has prayed through. Save his soul. You talk about somebody caring for somebody. Jesus could turn His ear away from us. I read for you in the scriptures tonight. It says, incline or lean yourself forward. Oh, don't you know that David many times said, God inclined Himself to David? I think many times God gets tired of inclining Himself over to me because I bend that ear a lot of times. But you know what God does? He cares for me. Casting all of our cares on Him, for He cares for us. I want you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to try it in here. I've got another verse of Scripture I want to read just really quickly. And it will help us maybe. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 15. I want you to meet me there. And I want you to know this verse of Scripture as well as I started. I talked about Him taking the dust of the earth and creating man. I want you to know in Psalms 103, He says this, for He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. God remembers that we are dust. He remembers our frame. But you go with me to Luke chapter 15 tonight. We've got a few scriptures we're going to read here. I want to start out in the 11th verse and we're going to back up. It may take me just a minute to read these, but I've got to do it. I've got to leave here tonight, following the Lord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I can't go home tonight and get beaten because I've got to come back the rest of this week and I've got to try to preach and I've got to try to get myself in shape so that those around us, they can hear the gospel and they can be saved. But you know what? I can't bring a revival and neither can Brother Ron.
That's right.
God has got to bring the revival.
Amen.
So we've got to follow Him. So I want to do that tonight. 11th verse, 15th chapter of Luke says, and a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. And he took his journey into far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And it says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He said, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Nobody cared about him. It says, and when he came to himself, oh, aren't you glad that God allows us to come to ourselves. I heard a man preach one time, and I've said this many times, and I'm going to spread it far and wide because he preached the wrong thing. He said that our faith saves us. Wrong. God gives us the faith to get saved when we get to the end of ourselves. You've got enough faith to get you to a point, and then God has got to finish it. He says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. If that's the truth, He's got to be the end for all of it. He's got to begin it when He draws us. He's got to end it to give us the faith to be saved. But this man came to himself. And he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He says, "I will rise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. I want to paint this picture for you just real quick. This is the parable of the prodigal son. A son asked his father, he said, "Give me my inheritance." No doubt the father knew just exactly what he wanted it for. He knew he's fixing to be gone. It's yesterday's newspaper. He was headed out. Father did it. You know, God lets people go. God draws people all the time, and they reject Him. He lets people go. You say, "Preacher, if God cared about them, wouldn't they all be saved?" The Bible says that we've got to come to Him when He draws us. He already did the very best. God has done everything for us. And we've got to do the coming to Him. And then when we get there, God saves it. We get over here, and He takes everything that He's got and wastes it. Just spends it, I guess, if it was modern days, why he either took it and bought himself the nicest car that he could have. Maybe he got himself all of the drugs and the alcohol he could have afforded. He had himself just a big old party with all that inheritance. Never thinking about the future. Never thinking about what was coming ahead. Wasted. Falls on hard times. It says there came a famine in the land. What happens? He's out of money. So he goes to a citizen of the country and he begins to feed the swine. Only he would have just been satisfied with the husk that fed the swine. But no man would give him any. Nobody cared about him. And I guess maybe he's laying around one day feeling pretty sorry for himself. And he said, "You know, there's not one in my father's house that's ever gone hungry. Even the hired servants, they have the best that they can have. I guess I better go home." Can you imagine how nervous that he must have been going home all the way saying, "Well, I know that I've already left. And I've already spent half of my inheritance. How can I go back?" He must have thought, "My father, I don't know how long he's gone," then they say. Just can't think of it off the top of my head. "I don't know how long he's gone. Maybe he's gone very much. Maybe he's gone very much. Maybe he's gone for the next 10 years. But I guarantee you on the other side of that coin, the father, always in the back of his mind, he saw the forefront of his mind, he always cared about that son. Yeah. Always wondering where he was and what he was doing if he had enough. His son, no doubt, was going home. He said, "I've got to replace my father. When I get there, he's going to be really mad at me for doing what I've done." Now, I guess maybe people more like I would, I've got things that were rather than such hoops. Maybe I just better go and try my luck somewhere else. And I guess maybe the old father was standing out in the field or wherever he was. He looked up. And I don't have children, so I don't have this field. Don't you know the children and the call for you? I believe if I walked up in the driveway right now, mom was looking out the window, I believe she knows me. I believe she knows just exactly who was standing there. And I guess maybe the father looked up and he saw him here. So he's been waiting all this time for him to come back. And the son probably just going as slow as he can to get there. Then as he gets there, the father runs to greet him and he falls on his neck and he begins to kiss him. Why? Because he cared for him. The father didn't turn him away. He didn't take him and say, "You've done bad toward me. You just go away." He took the best calf that he had. He slaughters it. Has a big feast in his home. Aren't you glad that God cares for us?
Aren't you glad that God did the very best that He had to save an old soul like me? Someone who's dust, but that God remembers that we are dust. Now, think of another brother. He was match fire. Lord, our Father, surely you're not going to be that way toward me. Father says, you've been with me, and I've cared for you. Your brother has come home, and I care for him. You know, there's a world out there today that says people are too bad to get saved. I read about some pretty hard people in the Bible that got saved. Read about some old publicans who had stolen, who had got saved. People who had been divorced multiple times got saved. Murderers and Paul. He got saved. Why? Because God cares for you. I want to come full circle. I want to come to tonight. How do we know that God still cares for us in 2016? Because on July 14th, 2016, Faith Missionary Baptist Church engaged in a revival effort meeting. And the Bible says that there will be a remnant somewhere on this earth still teaching and preaching about the true plan of salvation when He comes back. If God did not care about you and He didn't care about us, He would have said, forget it. He would have stepped off the throne and He would have said, son, go get my children. I'm done with those people. Don't you know He's getting close?
Amen.
Don't you know He's just looking out and He's saying, look at my creation. Oh, I thought they were bad before the flood. Look at them now. But God still cares for us. I want to read just a few more verses of Scripture and I'm going to close with these. Go back to the first few verses of chapter 15 of Luke. Talk about somebody caring for somebody. Parable of the lost sheep. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Didn't say the affluent and the rich. Said the publicans and the sinners. You know what we are tonight? We're publicans and we're sinners. And God cares for us. He doesn't turn us away to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what happened the night that I got saved? They found one of the little lost sheep. All the 99 have been left and God came searching for me.
Amen.
That's what happens when you're awesome. He comes searching for a little lost sheep. Harder than He found it. He found the little lost sheep, and the little lost sheep was willing to go with the Master. And I believe in heaven there was much rejoicing over one. You know, I love to see multiple lost people. I've been in services where 5, 6 has gotten saved at one time. But you know what is rejoicing in heaven? One person that defeats the devil and saves hell. There's rejoicing in that. Why? Because God still cares for us.
Amen.
He's cared for us since before time when He thought about leaving. He still cares today. Guess what? There's going to come a day when the Lord is going to return. He's going to say, son, go get my children. Trumpet of God shall sound, and time shall be near. There will be many that will stand before God and say, Father, haven't we done many great things in thy name? And He's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. He's going to cast them off in the lake of fire. People say God is a bully. God is mean. God wouldn't do that. My God is a just God. And if God says it, it's going to be so. I ask you tonight, what's it going to be?
You care about God because He cares about you.
I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. There may not be one lost person here, but if there isn't, we can praise the Lord and say we've all been. But you know what? We need to realize that God's still caring for people. God still cares for us as His church. He loves us. He still blesses us. But God does still care for us in 2016. I want to read the verse of Scripture that we started with tonight again, and then I'm going to close. And you get us a song together, and let's stand together, and let's give those around us an opportunity to seek the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Third verse says, incline your ear, come and mend here, and your soul shall live. Why? Because He cares for us. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I'm going to skip some of that in the 7th verse, and I'm going to end where we started. And He will have mercy upon you and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon because He loves me. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand together and while we sing.
You fear the gathering clouds of Anybody here ever been seasick? I've been seasick. There's one thing worse than being seasick, and that's sin sick. That's the only thing I can think of. Now, the reason I say that is Luke, when he's a little boy, he wanted to go deep sea fishing. And I said, okay, I've never been deep sea fishing, but we went deep sea fishing for the first time in our life. And they told us when we went, they said, now, they're going to have a 6-foot white cast. Now, I didn't know what that meant. That means it's going to be a little rough. As long as we was moving, it was fine. There was no problems. But you know what? When we stopped, it was different. Before we left that day, I was at the drugstore store, and I got me some of that Dramamine. I said, well, if I need it, I'll take it. Wrong. You take it before you go. I didn't take it before I went. And so I got really, really sick. But I was thinking about a time that I got that sick, you know, and I was calling out for help, you know, and I needed help. But what if Jesus was asleep tonight? You know, he was one night, and he was tired. He got in the boat, said he'd lay his head on the pillow, and he was fast asleep. And then a big storm came in. I'm going to say, you may be saved tonight, you may be lost. But I'm going to say, if you're lost, there's going to be a storm coming. It may not be raging tonight, but it's going to rage. And you sure don't want the Lord to be sleeping, do you? But he was. He was sleeping. He was fast asleep, and all the disciples, and all the boats, you know what they said? I can hear them all saying that at one time. Master, does thou carest that we perish? You know what he did? He got up. And that's what he'll do for you.
Amen.
He cares for you. 2016, he still cares for you. He'll do the same thing. He got up and he looked at that storm and you know what he said? He said, peace be still.
Amen.
You know what? It scared the death out of everybody. You know what they began to say? They said that even the winds and the seas obey his will.
Amen.
Tonight, if you're lost, you've never been saved, you're going to have to call out. He's not asleep. He's listening. But just as he told that storm, there had to be peace. He said, that's what it is. Salvation with God is peace with God.
Amen.
If you have it, thank the Lord. If you don't, seek the Lord while he may be found. He can be found now. 10 minutes from now, he may not be. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He can come back in 10 minutes. That's what I mean. And he'd be just in doing that. Or he could delay his coming a little bit longer. Either way, I'm okay with it. Because he's God. Word or testimony. Anything before we come around, shake the preacher's hand. Altar's still open. It was open at the beginning of the service. And it's still open now. Even when we leave tonight, it's still open. Whenever God says, come and seek the Lord, that's the time to go.
Amen.
Anybody have any word? I felt like asking if anybody else had anything on the talk before going further. It's a good message.
Amen.
If not, brother Jimmy, let's continue singing. Come around, shake hands with each other. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you, Brother Taylor, for the good message that he preached, the gospel. I believe it's down in that same chapter he read. It said that his words not going to return void. His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. And his word will not return void. And so tonight, let's come around. Let's just serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's his song.
203.
203.
203.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Oh,
everybody got to leave. It's hard to know. The Lord loves you to be here. And it's not hard to get here. You mentioned the scripture that you used to take to go out of prayer. And how old your kid was not.
Yes.
I was 11 years old, did not understand. Went home with somebody that night, we moved to Hendersonville, going back to class. And we spent the time in the parish that night. He got to be there.
I had that girl, Brother Daniels.
And I knew Brother Danny.
You do. He's your brother. And then, where did you call the telephone about the study? I was at this part of the funeral home, and she goes one night. Been asleep for a long time, and then he told me, he said, "Look at where I paid you for the funeral." He talked about me as an uncle to him, and all I did, and I threw a person in the room. I said, "Doug, what do you want to say about you when you manage the funeral home?" He said, "Damn, don't you know everybody likes you?" So he said, "Tell people what to do." I said, "Doug, I can't do that."
That's right.
"Anybody else can't do that. But you didn't have told me you were going to do it."
That's right.
Tell me. You know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to call him. I'm going to do my best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Continue to pray. Pray for him. He told me to keep praying. Keep trying for us. He went to the office and I don't know how to pray for you. Anybody else? Anything you feel like we need to do? Please keep going.
Crossing of the tide.
And I see, O Jordan's waters, so deep and wide. Well, that's a river I'll not fear. Oh, my Jesus, He will lead me, and He's so peaceful.
So touching.
You ever been touched by the master?
Amen.
Me too. Thank God for the touch. Anybody else have anything on your heart? Please go home praying.
Amen.
Met last night. I asked the church, please just steal away somewhere to pray. Today, I trust that you had some that there's no pray without speaking, pray all day. We welcome that too. We again appreciate everybody coming. And come back, please do. Bring somebody with you. If you can't, please pray for us. And we're just expecting great things of the Lord. You've been so good to us. And we're just so thankful for being able to be here tonight. We do continue to pray for Doug and pray for others that tell us their loss. But that's between them and God. We just pray that we'll be in a condition where we can pray for lost people. The only way you can do that is to pray and pray for yourself, but you can pray for others. So pray for us, pray for the church tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. All hearts and minds of liberty, and you've done everything you're supposed to do.
Brother Ron, I'm going to have to take the word
of the Lord.
I didn't know Brother Doug would be taken. But I know his family was praying for him because so many people have come forward and made the connection for me. And my heart went out to his brother Tom as well as his mother. And I've asked it many times, but if you know what I need to ask him again, but it gives me hope that if something happened to me, that God's people would still be praying for my children. So I might not make it another minute. Don't worry about me. I want to be seen with Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worry about me.
Amen.
But could you please keep praying for my children?
Amen.
You know, I don't have a word for Shannon and daughter, so I don't. But life without Jesus is just something that I can't fathom. And I cannot really die. I cannot get the man's eyes off of my heart. All I can see is his eyes. He now knows what everybody has been telling me for so many years and what how long it's taking. Oh my gosh. It hurt me so bad to have been in my car. I made my children go away that long. There's not even promise of tomorrow.
Sure.
So, please, don't get my children. I mean, Roger made me 70. And he may find his way back to some missionary church. And y'all grab hold of him and love on him.
Amen.
Because he is so confused. Please. And let's not forget Brother Nelson, if he was so distant. And you know, he's not the only one. But there's something about that man that has kind of reunited some of us. And it's like a common thread. But his mama would appreciate you praying for him because if he's lost, he's going to burn in hell.
Lord,
for eternity. This is a short life we have here, and we all know it. The older we get, the shorter it gets. It will be Christmas really soon. We do that. And he's going to burn for eternity.
heart.
Okay. I'll make it know. Yell for you to God. Thank you. There's nothing good in this Lord.
Amen. I was preaching Sunday. He was there. His face was his deep red. And a few things I said, he just went like this. He wouldn't even look at me. But it's the Lord. So we just pray and pray and pray.
He told me he was dead at the group on the
street. He prayed. Anyone else?
Remember a couple of our older members, it's from West and Lee, who's gone. And one of them had Oscar in a couple of weeks. And one of our members, she battled cancer. She's still cancer free. And then she went to the body in Cleveland. And then this past year, fell on over here. And recovered from that, but now some of Kim's are working their way out. And where they've done that, they think that the bone cracked.
For the bond, and go in and pray a little harder, and we come back tomorrow ready to do it again. And we'll just keep doing it again until it says it's time to come home. And so, thank you again for coming. I've been just up here saying, well, should we have a benediction? Should we not? I think we ought to stand and just consider ourselves dismissed and keep the revival and prayer on our Father. Then you can come back that way tomorrow. So thank you for coming. God bless you. And let's come back again tomorrow ready to serve the Lord. Thank you for coming.
I was taking a look.